Hello, everyone, and welcome to Vertical Live Radio. I am your host, Celeste Duckworth, and we have a great program for you today with guest Tori Reed. So let's get to our sponsor, and then we can get to the program. So our sponsor today is 3E Web Media. They are one of the collaborators with Vertical Media Group, which they do digital marketing, publishing. And today they're offering a special on e-course creation. So do you have a book or a seminar that you would like to turn into an e-course? This is the person for you. And take advantage of all the clients you might be missing from being able to see your seminar or being able to take advantage of your book. Now, they've had 20 years of teaching, editing, web developing, mobile app development, and e-course development experience. And as I said, they're a collaborator with Vertical Media Group, so I can really tell you that she's really one of the great ones. She's also a number one seller on Fiverr. So if you have anything that you'd like to get published, or you like some marketing promos, or you'd like to have an e-course creation, contact them at 3E, the letter E, webmedia.com. And thank you, 3E Web Media, for being our sponsor today. So, as I said today, our guest is Tori Reed. And so I want to just give you a little bit of information. I've had Tori Reed on a program before, and I just, great conversationalist, great person. And so she is getting ready to do quite a few things that we're going to be able to announce in the program today. But let me get to my intro. Dreams have a way of finding you in life. That's very true. And Tori Reed has the vision to head her own production company, thanks in part through a collaboration with a friend and writing partner. Her latest endeavor is to co-founder and CEO of Victory and Noble, a newly formed literary and production company. She's able to develop, create, and produce stories through literature, film, and television under her own umbrella. So she's striking out to follow her dreams and carve a path that will inspire people. Now, she's no stranger to the world of entertainment. Tori Reed is the daughter of Tim Reed of WKRP in Cincinnati and Frank's Place. So this is something that's played over and over again when you're the child of a celebrity. So the big question is, well, who is Tim Reed's daughter first, or who's this Tori Reed? And we'll get to answer some of those questions today. So welcome, Tori. How are you today?
Thank you so much, Celeste. I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great.
Good.
It's
good to hear you.
Day in Arizona. Yeah, it is good.
Yes, it is. Great.
Well, I'm happy to have you on the program again, and I'm very excited about this new endeavor in your life. So I'm excited to be able to share this information. So we have some questions. We might go off some questions, but let's get started. So one of the things, you know, we talked about, as you know, and I don't really like to go over and over because I really like to get people based on their own merit. But it's true. You're Tim Reed's daughter. So, yes. And you grew up in that celebrity world. So, give us briefly, what was that like for you growing up in that celebrity world?
Oh, wow. I think it was just my world, so it was natural, and it was just all I knew. So the interesting thing is, as I got older, as a kid, I was running around the sets, and I was always fascinated with the sets, and particularly when he was on WKRP, and I was very young then, I would always marvel at how they made the backdrop. So like if you saw the city of Cincinnati and you saw the light, so I was the kid that was on the other side of the set because I was trying to figure out how they did it, because it's like it was magic to me. It's still magical. And so as a kid, you know, I loved it, and it was just, I was going to my dad's job, basically. As I started to get a little older, and I, of course, developed friendships in high school and college, that's when I started getting a little maybe insecure, concerned about how people would see me, because it was never about me and what I was about and who I was. It was always, you know, a barrage of questions about my father and what it felt like and everything. And so then I started developing, I guess, a complex, so to speak, and I kind of fell into the shadows of him. Mm-hmm. And so it was hard mm-hmm. for me to, or it was a challenge for me to trust, basically, because my whole thing was, I want people to like me for me and look at me and I'm a great person, you know, by myself. And so right. it became tricky for me during that mm-hmm. time and quite some time after. So
how do you think you overcame that, though? What specifically helped you to overcome that feeling?
Time, and because my dad and I are very, very close. And mm-hmm. developed through the years, and he is, I always say, my father and my mom are the loves of my life. So I think with him early on, when he knew I was having this struggle, he actually got saddened by it. He was offended because when people would ask me what he did, whatever he was doing on the show, I would say that's what he was doing. So I'd say he owns a restaurant, or he's a DJ, or whatever it was, and he didn't quite understand it. And I could never mm-hmm. really explain to him how I felt about it. But in time, I believe that I just understood that I just needed to be who I was. And I think those mm-hmm. people, those friends, those relationships, they would find me and the right ones would show up and they would want to know about me and want to get to know me. Respect my dad, mm-hmm. you know, look up to him. I get it because I do too. But I think for me, it was just me telling me that just be yourself and focus on your own gifts and talents and know mm-hmm. that what you have is enough. What you offer is enough, and it's beautiful and it's needed just as you are. And so I basically had to tell myself that.
Okay.
So that's pretty much what I did. Yeah.
Okay. That's, you know, and I think it's when you're, you know, a child of a celebrity, it's probably like magnified 10 times yeah. more than any other, you know, child that, you know, when it comes to the time to find yourself, you know, those are some of the similar things. I just think it's magnified even more so when you're the child of a celebrity. So now that you're moved forward from that and you're able to find yourself, what do you think has been the most satisfying part of, I would say, of your life, finding your life?
I find that I am most satisfied now in my life because I feel good finally about who I am, who I've become, and what I've overcome in life. And so mm-hmm. to me, this is the greatest time in my life for me because I have, you know, experience, I've picked up wisdom. And I feel like there's nothing but opportunity. Now I've always loved myself. Well, can't say that. That was a mm-hmm. struggle, self-love and everything. But I definitely love myself now. And I really like myself. I like who I am. I like who I've become. And I'm proud of mm-hmm. what I've done thus far in my life. So to me right now, I think the most satisfying thing that I've done and where I am is the accomplishment of simply self-evolution. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. that is a big thing to me, as is career accomplishments and other accomplishments. But to me, first and foremost, it's becoming your best self. And so I'm consciously on that road and I feel like I get better each day and I'm mm-hmm. focused on that. And that's number one for me because I know that will affect my work. It will affect my business. It will everything, you know? And so that's something that I've done through the years and over the years that I'm proud about, and I'm satisfied with that now.
Okay. So tell me about being the co-founder and CEO of Victory & Noble. Tell me about Victory & Noble, and how did you come to that?
Well, a dear, dear friend, Patrick Howe, I met him. We were in a Connie Bristow writing group, basically, workshop. Mm-hmm. And so okay. we connected, as we do in this day and age, on social media. And a group of us were trying to put together kind of like a West Coast group outside of the class. And so mm-hmm. he connected with me one early, early, early Sunday morning. And he was basically like, well, because I have to say, I actually left the group. And only because, only because I'm into nonfiction and her workshop was for fiction. And so I was going to try to write a fiction. I kind of came up with an idea, but my heart wasn't in it. So I said, you know, I'm just going to move on and I'll go find a nonfiction group. Well, I now realize the reason, and I love how life works. The reason for me to, that I was in that group was that I could connect with Patrick. And so he reached out to me because I guess he noticed that I was gone. And he was like, you know, basically, where are you with your book and what are you doing? And I told him about my book that I'm finishing up now. And he was like, look, I want to help you. I've done this. I've done this for other writers. I'm a published writer, you know, published author. I know what I'm doing. So let me basically shepherd you through this process. And so through that, we developed an amazing working relationship and we collaborate well with each other. And so while we're in the process, and we're towards the end of the process now, and so he, you know, what he does as well as being an author and accomplished writer, his background is finance, investment banking, raising money, you know, that's his thing. That's one of his many talents. So he knows my background is film production, TV production, what have you. So he said, you know, he basically asked me, are you interested in starting a company? Because I feel like with your strengths and my strengths and, you know, a few other partners, we can come together and make, you know, a successful, extraordinary company. And so I thought about it for a while. And a little bit longer. And I came back, I said, you know what? Yes, let's do it. And then we basically started forming it from there. And so we're, it's a newly forming company, I'd like to say. And so, you know, basically I'm the co-founder, the CEO, he's the chairman, he's business development. And we're coming together and we're creating this amazing storytelling company. That's what it is. Both of us love to tell stories. And, you know, he loves the literary world. I'm beginning to fall in love with the literary world. And I know he will be an amazing film producer, television producer. And so we're headed down that road now. And we're going to bring in other partners. Dr. Michael Datcher is also an accomplished writer, New York Times bestseller author. And he brings a lot to the table. And so we're just going to tell new and ancient stories for this brilliant new age that we're in. And so everyone keep an eye out. It's victoryandnoble.com. I got to plug that. It's being created as we speak. And so our company is going to focus on book to film adaptations as well as some original content.
Now that sounds amazing.
So I'm excited about it. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Because I've worked for production companies. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's something about filmmaking. You know, it's for me, it's nothing like it. It's magical. The process. You know, you have, you know, so many people from script to screen that are part of telling this one story. And so it's just a magical process it's not only in my blood, but it's in the fiber of my being, and I can't walk away from it if I tried. And so that's what the company, that's what we're going to do. And so I'm really excited about it. And we'll also do, you know, some symposiums. We're going to do a lot, but that's going, that's the main focus of the company. Yeah.
That's amazing. It really is. So let's talk about your book for a minute here. Your book is Loving Yourself Through It.
It is. And that's the current title. Yes. It could change. It's subject to change.
Oh, you know, well, I understand that. I mean, in the writing world, I understand that, you know, there's nothing, you know, in stone until you actually finished.
Yes,
you know, so
exactly.
A lot of
yes.
things can change, you know. And then also there's a part of books that write themselves. So they, you know, it could say, well, no, Tori, I don't like that. I want this, you know. So
right. That's true.
Yeah, it becomes another voice to you. So tell me about that book. It's kind of like a memoir.
It is, I like to call it an intimately candid memoir. And it's simply about how we overcome our own self-sabotage behavior, how we overcome the inexplicable. In my case, it was trauma, a type of trauma. And it's how we become our highest selves, letting go of the baggage and becoming our own light. And my writing voice is conversational. So it sounds like I'm talking to my best friend. It's very intimate.
Okay.
And so it's really my own beautiful struggle is what I call it, because it really is about learning to champion my own life through the ups and downs. And the, are you kidding me right now? This is what I'm going through. I have to go through this through all of that. And so I, you know, like I was saying earlier, I struggled with believing I was enough. That I was pretty enough, that I was talented enough, that I was smart enough, all the enoughs, I was challenged with that. And I think it had to do with living in the shadows, my wonderful father. It also had to do with what happened to me at North Carolina Central U and the trauma of that. And just the everyday societal pressures that everyone encounters, you know, all the life stuff. And so for me, I questioned how I did things, how I looked, you know, physically, you know, just all of it. And I find that a lot of women do, and men for that matter. And so, you know, that's why I think we love books, we need films, we need documentaries, we need the redemption stories and the overcomer, the ultimate overcomer stories. And so that's what I'm about. That's what the book is about. And that's what I want to be a part of for the rest of my life. I'd like to read an excerpt if I can.
Yeah. You know what? We would love that.
Awesome. Okay. So this is a chapter called, I'm going to read, this is cool. I've never done this before. Okay. This chapter is called 2020.
Okay.
As in 2020 vision. Okay.
All right.
I want to do over. Live life completely over again, erasing some traits or decisions from my being and past. If we're honest with ourselves, we've all thought at one point or another, if I knew then what I know now, I know I have many times over. I wouldn't have gone to that place or dated that person. I wouldn't have let my emotions get the best of me, been afraid to pursue my dreams while younger, or stayed financially illiterate for as long as I did. Life often has a way of altering our authenticity, creating a desire to be something different than what we are, and making us feel like who we are and what we do isn't good enough. Whether it's because a childhood experience, a major event in our adult years, genetics, mistakes, choices, or even watching television or picking up a magazine, it's easy to fall into the trap of having a distorted view of self. Full of regrets, we can find ourselves focusing only on the negative, picking ourselves apart while trying to lose ourselves in a bottle full of numbness or within a person's arm. For some time, that was my journey. I wanted to be accepted. I wanted something that I could call mine. I wanted a man to love me back as I loved him. I wanted to please people. I wanted to be perfect at everything, to everyone. I'd been the nice girl, the needy girl, the stupid girl, the desperate girl, the empty girl, and worst of all, somewhere along the way, I assumed the position of a victim. I accepted that as my role, and I owned it explicitly. But over time, I came to understand that what I actually desired more than anything else was to feel worthy enough, and self-love was the key to fulfillment. I'll stop there. And scene.
Well, you know what? I loved when you said, I've been the stupid girl. I've been the needy girl. I mean, that part says so much to, you know, women and girls, you know, women and girls, because we've all have, you know, played one of those roles, you know? You know, so, and to get to your authentic self. And then I remember being in a class and the teacher said to us, she says, well, how old do you want to be? And so it was funny, and everyone, we were all like in our 20s, and everybody was saying, you know, how old they wanted to be. And so when she got to me, she says, well, how old do you want to be? I said, about 65. And she said, why? I said, because then you do stuff and nobody cares. You can be so truthful and honest, and people just
think
you're crazy.
Yes, absolutely.
But it's so freeing because you get to say what you want to say.
Yes, you do.
Right. So, but I love that part of the book. I do. I love that because there's so much to say in each one of those, you know, personalities that you take on, you know, realizing at some point that you are the victim, that you are, you know, continuing to live in that victim stage, you know. So
yes,
that was very powerful. So how close are you to completing your book?
I would say 3 months. It would be done. It would be ready to go go to the next stage, and that would be a publisher getting an editor and them saying, okay, great, we like it, we're going to do it, but let's do this. Let's take out this, have this, what have you, nip and tuck, and then, yeah, hopefully 2020, 2021, I guess, at the latest.
We'll absolutely be looking forward to, you know, to seeing that book and being able to, you know, read it. Yeah, so... So, I mean, was there anything in the book that took you a long time to get through? Was there a part that took you a long time to get through that was really raw? Was there any part that you decided that you just wasn't ready to put in your book?
I would say probably the toughest part to write and that took me to get through, and it was interesting because once I sat down, and the way I wrote, I took some time out. I had been working at this company, somewhat a production company, and I basically saved up money. I said, okay, I'm going to work for this company. It was a newly formed company. I'm going to work for this kind of company. I'm going to save up money. I'm going to go get a cabin in the woods, and I'm going to take a month. I'm going to write the book. That was what I said to myself. And then I was like, yeah, okay. You're not Mary Hill Hurston, okay? So, of course, like that was many years ago, and this has been a long journey, longer than I ever thought it would. But I stopped, and I would write every day from 9 to 6. I would get up. Some days I'd shower. Some days the grimier chapters, grittier chapters, I wouldn't shower. And I'd sit at my desk, and I had my different quotes around me, and I'd write. I'd stop and eat lunch, 30 minutes, and I was back at it. And I was really in a rhythm. But the part that I think I have two traumas that I discuss in the book, and one of which, and why I mentioned North Carolina Central, as a freshman and on my 18th birthday, I was raped. And it's interesting because just saying that word, I've been saying for a long time, sexually assaulted, because that seems to fall on ears. It's a little softer, you know what I mean?
Right. For people to hear.
But and I find myself like I was just hesitant to say it because I'm thinking about other people. But I'm moving to the point where it's rape. That's what it is. It's just lumpy going down. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's a lumpy thing. So that was the hardest part, and I knew I had to write it. And I was putting it off. And I'd say, okay, let me go write this. So okay, I'm gonna go over here and write this chapter. And it's like, okay, Tori, you've got to write it. And the irony was, and I didn't realize while I was writing it, I happened to write it during the time or the month that it happened. Had no idea. And so when it was over, I got really sick after writing it. I wound up at the doctor's office. But when it was hesitancy. And then when I sat down, I said, okay, you have to relive this because you basically want to squeeze it, you know, like you're squeezing a rag, a sponge, you know, get everything out of it and do this one last time. Like, this is going to be your final handshake. You know what I mean? And you're going to be done with this, say goodbye to it. And so I finally decided to sit down and do it. And it was literally like time travel. A lot of writing the book was time travel because I wanted to reconnect with the emotions, how I felt, the physical pain, just everything. I needed to feel it again. And it was something after it happened that I pushed so far, you know, down deep away from me. You know, like an exorcist, I had the cross and I just would not look at it. And so I said, okay, you know, you're doing it. You got to do it. You got to get it down. And so that's what I did. And once I got into it, once I was back in that apartment and back in that place, it just came out like no problems. It wasn't a struggle or anything. So it was the struggle leading up to it. As far as what I was hesitant about writing or didn't put in, which I am now within these few months, I have to go back and revisit it. I didn't, like I said, I'm extremely close to my father. I could not be closer to that man if I tried. And we're confidants. He's one of my closest friends. We tell each other everything with a capital E. And so, I, you know, that's who we are now, but that's not who we were back then. And so for me, you know, I have to now go back and again, squeeze that rag a little bit more and revisit how we were then and the difficulties and the challenges and the the discomfort of the dynamic mm-hmm. of our relationship then. And I was hesitant about that because I am so close to him now and we're, you know, better than I ever thought we would be. And so I just didn't want it to come off as, you know, me throwing him under a bus or, mm-hmm. you know, anything like that. I don't want it to be some sensational, you know, trying to sell a book type thing. That's not my thing. But I do know that as in telling a story, you have to have the arc. So that's something I have to go back and, yeah.
Okay. All right. So now that let's kind of move forward now that you've, you know, you're doing the book and actually, so you're actually on your journey to your next life. Your book is part of that. Your company is part of that. Who do you think mm-hmm. is your role model at this time and why?
Interesting. Actually, I think my role models back then, you know, early on in life are mm-hmm. still my role models now and really apply even more so.
Okay.
I don't have just mm-hmm. one. I'd say my father, because mm-hmm. he's a dreamer and he's a dream catcher. You know, he just doesn't stop at the dream. He achieves his dream no matter, mm-hmm. you know, how it goes, he goes for it. And every single time, it doesn't matter what it is, but he's all in. And to me, mm-hmm. he succeeds at each and every dream because he fulfills the dream. Whether it's not mm-hmm. as big or successful or, you know, shiny as he hoped, to me, he filled his dream. My mother, mm-hmm. For the way she loves. I've never known anyone who loves as deeply, endlessly, purely, and completely like she does. Mm-hmm. And then there are those who don't live in fear, you know, and that have a fire in their soul and that they do, you know, what they're led to do and they need to do. And mm-hmm. those who know their light. So people like Malcolm X, James Baldwin, Bob Marley, you know, I don't know, Josephine Baker, Jeffrey mm-hmm. Holder, like to me, those people are fearless and, you know, they couldn't ignore that fire. So they did what they mm-hmm. needed to do, no matter how it affected their family, no matter how it mm-hmm. affected their life. So whether it's through expression or activism, ultimately, you know, it's for the greater good, and I respect that. And also, I feel that mentorship is very important. It's something that, you know, I have had parents, I've had certain people in my life, but I've really never had that true mentor. And so I've been having a few conversations with Nikki Giovanni. I'm actually adopting her mm-hmm. as a godmother. So godmother Nikki, I like her to be a mentor, and I'll ask her hopefully in the next few weeks. And then Felicia Rashad is a woman who I adore. I worked with her for a summer back in the 90s on a film that actually my dad's directorial debut on a film, and she was one of the cast members. And so I spent so much time with her, and I was around her, and her power is, I just want to sit. I just want to be with spirits and around spirits mm-hmm. who inspire me, and mm-hmm. I just want to sit at their feet. And so those two women, you know, are role models, what they stand for different reasons. You know, I've always said you know, in my next phase of my life, it's my Felicia Rashad stage. I've always said that. That's mm-hmm. going to be that phase, you know. I want to, and I plan on reaching out to her and just asking questions, listening, you know what I mean? Because they're inspirations to me.
What do you think some of the challenges are going to be as you go, as you move forward in your journey? What do you think what are the challenges to you mm-hmm. moving forward, or as you move forward?
I think for me, it would be just simply life challenges. You know, the life challenges mm-hmm. will continue, you know, and I think those vary from person to person, but I think everyone has mm-hmm. them. So for me, mm-hmm. it would be not letting distractions in or get the best of me. You know what I mean? Staying mm-hmm. focused and distractions. It's like the closer you get to something, you know what I mean? And you're in a rhythm, you're in a zone, you're like feeling it, you're fulfilled, you're feeling good. And man, those distractions will come out, or just like, just negativity. Like recently, right. I think it was a couple of weeks ago, I was very focused. I was being very productive. I was in writing, I was in my writing mode, and I was writing, I was doing good. And, friends were texting me, and I just totally missed the text. I may have glanced at it, but I was in my rhythm. But I glanced, I forgot to reply. And so I had three different friends in different ways, but they were all firm, and they were all kind of disgusted that I didn't text them back sooner. Like one of my girlfriends, I texted her, but it was like 5 days later. And so she started the conversation with, why are you just now texting me? Why did it take you 5 days? And man, each one of them laid into me. And it kind of hit me, it threw me. And so for me, not to knock them, I'm not saying they're the devil or they're evil, they're not, but it reminded me because I was feeling so good. And so it took me, and Patrick was one of my friends that I spoke to about it, because it really hit my heart. And so that for me is a distraction. Love them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to love from afar. Sometimes you have to tell people, I'm focused right now. I'll be back with you, but I got to do this for me right now. This is important for me. And the ones that don't understand, say la vie, wish you well. But so for me, like that's a challenge in the future. And I think we'll always be there, like not allowing the negativity to get in, because it'll throw you. It'll throw your rhythm. It'll throw your focus. And caring about what other people think. Like I know that I'm a good friend to my friends, but hearing them say what they were saying, I was questioning, like, man, am I a bad seed? Like, what's happening? Am I really a bad friend? And, and then I have to, talk myself off the ledge and say, no, you're not. It's just they needed you to be there like you've always been or you've typically been, and you just have to tell them. You have to make them understand, and hopefully they will. So to me, those will never go away. It's a matter of self-protecting.
Self-protecting, and for individuals like what you're wanting to do, when you step up into a level of your journey that says your journey is also part of a purpose to shine light on others, it's a little bit more of a difficult journey than most people. And I get what you're saying about the calls. I mean, my friends have gotten used to me now. They're like, we'll have a conversation that goes on for days because they know I'm busy. They know I'm doing things. They know I'm always doing something. But when I first was trying to, get them used to me not always answering the phone or not always, texting me. So on my answering machine, it used to say, hi, how you doing? I said, I'm sorry, I'm driving right now and I can't answer my phone. And it got to be hilarious because one of my friends called me. She said, look, dang it, you're not driving all the time.
That's funny.
So she said, at least you can do is drop a line and say you're still alive or something, And I have gotten better, but, in fact, this year is, I call my year of intention, and I said, but, I'm very much of a loner to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm working, I'm very much into it. And so, you're not going to distract me. When I was little, if you gave me a book, I can tune everyone out. And my mother and family, they used to hate that. You said, I hate when you start reading. But it is a creative journey. Yeah, it's the creative journey. You get to a place where, you just understand that some friends are going to fall away and some friends are going to get it.
Yeah.
They're just going to get it, But you can't be distracted because this is not only critical for you, it's critical for the people who will be who don't have a voice, who will be watching your movies, reading your books. They may not have a voice. They may not have as much of a to get out there and say. But something that you say and do is going to help them make a movement on their journey. So that's the important. I always say, always remind yourself what the purpose is. What the purpose is. So, they know you love you. You have friends and family that know, they know that you love them.
you know, and they get it, and they get it. So mm-hmm. yeah, but they're also those, they're also the ones that'll pull you back and say, okay, now, you know, it's been like 3 months.
Exactly.
right.
Well, that's why I look at the role models that I, you know, because the role models that I think of, like Malcolm and Marley and these people, James Baldwin, like their mm-hmm. home life suffered. And it's you know,
right,
I always catch myself, yeah, who I admire. And it's interesting. Yes. It's like they wanted to be there for their children, for their spouses, for, you know, but they had to do what they had to do. My father's like
exactly.
that, you know, mm-hmm. these people. And so, but that is what, you know, I'm attracted to, how they do what they do. So with mm-hmm. that, I have to step into that.
And those very individuals you're talking about, they understood that what their purpose was, and they had a purpose
yes.
to those who didn't have a voice. And that's the
yes.
thing that,
exactly.
You know, and I'll tell you, one of the most, when I listened to Martin Luther King's, when I listened to his speech that I've been to the mountaintop, where he says that, and it was really interesting. When I went to Georgia, I had a chance to go visit the museum there. And there's a young man that he said that his gift was to recite the speeches of Martin Luther King. And I'm going to tell you, when he started speaking, it was like you were actually there. His voice
really?
Was incredible. I've never heard anyone's, I mean, it was incredible. But the thing that got me about the speech was he actually was talking about himself, that he was never going to mm-hmm. see the promised land. He knew he was never going to get to go
yes.
or see
yes.
any of yeah. what he started, you know. And if you yes. really listen to these individuals you're talking to, you'll see that at some point they realize that, you know, they're where they're supposed to be, and someone else will carry on the legacy.
Yeah,
and so I think that's something for a lot of individuals, you and a lot of individuals mm-hmm. who have taken on something to inspire people and empower people, that, you know, that you understand your role, you know, you understand
yeah.
your role. You understand what it's going to
yeah.
do. And I think that the people that need to be in your life will understand that most definitely.
Yeah.
You know,
true.
So at this time, what do you feel that others has been the successes? Because success is more than, you know, some people think. It's not always being, you know, it's not always saying, oh, we're in, you know, my company's in the black, or, oh, I, you know, made it here.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think your success has been so far on this journey?
I think, ooh, good question. I think I would say that the self-evolution,
mm-hmm.
I would say my relationships to my parents, that is very
mm-hmm.
important to me. And so
uh-huh.
mm-hmm. what that's become, and that takes work, that takes time, takes patience, takes love. I would say overcoming personal challenges one at a time, slowly.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I would say being grounded. I've
mm-hmm.
through the years, I've gotten that a lot from people. They're surprised and shocked and in awe that I am as humble as I am. Now, that's not always
mm-hmm.
a good thing, because that can be
mm-hmm.
you can be too humble as well. But I think
absolutely.
Yeah. So I said, but I think I've kept a level head, and I feel like my presence in people's lives, like my friends, my family, because I love very deep. I think that is an accomplishment, success. And I think just as far as overall, like life achievements, I always said that I don't think I've experienced the most significant one yet. I'm close.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
But haven't experienced it yet. I think as far as excitement in my life, I think by
mm-hmm.
far it was the time that I was chosen to be Miss Golden Globe by the Hollywood Foreign Press Association.
Mm-hmm.
That for me was, it was beyond exciting. At the time, I thought I had arrived. And in some ways I had, but it was really Hollywood saying, hello, we see you. Now, who are you? And what are you going to do next? And so, so I think, you know, that night and actually the 3 to 4 months prior to it, they were brilliant. It was, that night, it was the actual award show was the Golden Globes. It was 55 million viewers. And at the time, it was the highest audience to date. And I think in the history of the Golden Globes, it's the second largest audience. And I was in the spotlight, introduced to the world.
Wow.
And that was, at the time, huge. I was truly Cinderella at the ball. And I had, like, hundreds of thousands worth of diamonds and designer clothes. And I partied with Hugh Hefner afterwards. And so it was, you know, Jim Carrey hugged me. I was talking to Lauren Bacall. Flirted with me. It was a lot going on that night. It was a lot. Gregory Peck, I'm into classic movies, so for me to be talking with Lauren Bacall on the stage, it's like, is Lauren Bacall, is this Gregory Peck, are you kidding me right now? And then Don Cheadle, who's been a longtime crush of mine, he was in the audience. I'm like, okay, he's looking at me, you know, I'm like, okay, it doesn't get much better than this. So I think that was the most exciting accomplishment to date, but I really think I haven't experienced the most significant yet, but it's coming. It's around the corner.
Okay.
It's coming. Yeah.
So what do you think, because I always say that all of us have a superpower, and our superpower is very simple. It's something that has collected light along the way of your journey, and at some point it gets very bright, so bright that, you know, you can't help but be pushed out into real bright light and do what you're going to do for yourself. So what do you think was that superpower for you? What was that thing inside of you that kind of kept you moving forward, kept you going forward to this day now?
I would say love. I believe love for me is most important, you know, with peace and health as you know, the silver and bronze medals. But love for me, I think whether it's been family, friends, or lover, that's been most important. And I think that's been my driving force. I was many years ago, I took some writing classes, and there was this amazing instructor at UCLA. She since passed, but she was this quirky, really granola kind of San Francisco Bay Area woman. She probably was from the Bay. And she asked the classroom, what is the wound that drives your life? And that's also in my book. And when I discussed my proposal and book with literary agents, they always bring that up. And each of them have said, that made me pause. And I had to think about it for myself. And so for that question came the book, came a lot of things. It came changes in my relationships were birthed out of that question. And I think for me, the wound that has driven my life was to be properly loved and to properly love someone. And so that's been my superpower. That's been my driving force. Now, I've been told that I radiate brightly, uncommonly brightly. I've been told that I'm a supernova. And that Golden should be my superhero name. But that's people outside of me and friends that know me. For me, it would definitely be love. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Love is the answer. So, love is everything.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So now the last question I have, because we have an announcement. So the last question I want you to talk about is, you know, just what advice would you give someone out there listening to you today that you think is something that can move them forward or be something that they can break free and get started on their journey? What advice would you give someone?
I would say several things. I think first and foremost, mm-hmm. to not let the world put you in a box, not let okay. the world put you in its place where it wants you to be, whether the world mm-hmm. is society, you know, the shoulds, you should do this, you should do that, you know. There are no boundaries, and we have one life, and we should fulfill our desires,
mm-hmm.
you know, our dream. I would say self-care. I would say having and saying mantras daily, you know, having a daily routine that involves self-love and care. So whether that's meditating, I have reminders and quotes on my wall, you know, just those reminders to say to yourself, you know, say to yourself, mm-hmm. you know, not losing your focus and your goal, because if you lose your focus or your goal, you've lost your way. And it takes a considerable amount of energy to get back on track.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say feed your soul with books and knowledge, and be with good people, spiritual people, spiritual folks, givers, lovers, dreamers. That's very important, who you surround yourself with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
Well, everyone who's listening, I want you to know that Tori Reed will have a podcast. Her program starts July the 7th. That would be Sunday. It's going to be at 1 p.m. Is that going to be Eastern Standard Time, Tori, or is it going to be Pacific time?
Pacific. Yeah.
Pacific. Okay. Mm-hmm. 1 o'clock Pacific yeah. time. I should know better, dealing with time zones all the time. and we will definitely be advertising that to you at Vertical, but I want to
Yay.
Let Tori tell you a little bit of what her program is going to be about, because I want you to tune in. It will be a regular program. So, Tori, let's talk about your program and what it's going to be about.
So it will be about all the things that I love, the things mm-hmm. that I'm challenged with. It will be about my life's mission, which is inspiring, educating, transforming lives. We'll talk about the art of becoming unstuck, because mm-hmm. a lot of us go through that, you know. So it will, you know, I'll talk to all sorts of people that I know, people that I love, friends, people that inspire me. There'll be some celebrities in there, but we'll talk about all sorts of things, from the art of becoming unstuck. We'll talk about relationships, marriage, divorce. We'll talk about sexual assault and rape. We'll talk about confidence. And the main thing is just being in your light, staying in your light. I think a lot of people don't know about that. And
mm-hmm.
so that's what I'm about. And so that's what I want to talk about, what that means, you know, becoming your mm-hmm. your ultimate self, your best self. So it'll be a deep dive, and we'll talk with vibrancy mm-hmm. and love, and we'll just explore all those things.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And definitely, you know, I hope all of you that are listening today will tune in. I think it's going to be a great program. I've been talking to Tori about it, and I think there's a lot to get out of this program, so I'm hoping that you'll, you know, be listening. As I said, we will definitely be posting it all through our social medias, so you get a chance to, and it will be recorded, so if you can't make the time, you'll definitely be able to hear the recording. Tori, I just want to thank you for being on the program today and sharing yourself with our audience, sharing your journey.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
I wish you the best in all your endeavors. I'm looking forward to when you finish the book, and then we can talk more in detail about it. I don't want to give anything
Me
away.
Too.
It's been a long road. Right. So I'm really looking forward to you being on the program today, and thank you so much. This has been Tori Reed with Vertical Live Radio. You'll be able to hear this recording tonight. And you know, please share it with your friends, and please come back on Sunday, July the 7th at 1 o'clock Pacific time. We will be advertising that again so we can hear Tori. Thank you again, Tori, for being on our program.
Thank you. My pleasure. We're going to do it again soon.
And
oh, yeah, for sure. Thank you for Vertical Live Radio. Thank you for my team for helping me put this program together. And be looking for us to present Tori's program. And also our next program, we will have Shonda Buchanan. We've had Shonda Buchanan on our program before. And so we'll be looking to talk about her new book. So definitely stay in touch with us. Keep in tune with our radio page. And have a great day. Thank you, Tori. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too, Celeste.